Is technology making us stupid? With our increasing reliance on tech tools like GPS, smartphones, and AI, it's become commonplace to worry that our machines are dumbing us down. But there's an alternate view, championed by W. Russell Newman in the new book, Evolutionary Intelligence: How Technology Will Make Us Smarter. Russ is a professor of media technology at New York University and was a founding faculty member of the MIT Media Lab. He served as senior policy analyst in the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, and he joins us now to share five of his big ideas.
Hi, Russ Newman here. I'd like to tell you about a few of the takeaways from my new book, Evolutionary Intelligence: How Technology Will Make Us Smarter. Insight number one. The popular Turing test that measures how smart computers are has it backwards. Turing proposed that in a keyboard conversation, if you couldn't tell if it was a computer or a real person that you were talking to, then the computer had demonstrated true intelligence. What a classic human-centric mistake. Intelligence is the optimal selection of alternative means to a goal. Humans are notoriously and demonstrably bad at that. Various emotions, wishful thinking, and cognitive laziness often get in the way. Why would we want to model an optimal machine-based intelligence on ourselves? Here's a chance to use new models of intelligence to compensate for relatively well-understood shortcomings of the evolved human cognitive system. I call it evolutionary intelligence. Human capacities to get things done have co-evolved with the technologies we have invented. The wheel made us more mobile. Machine power made us stronger. Telecommunications gave us the capacity to communicate over great distances. Evolutionary intelligence will make us smarter. Insight number two. In the early days of automobiles, we dubbed them horseless carriages. Who could imagine a carriage without a horse? Today, many of us still think of computers in similarly historically bounded ways. A computer is a thing, a box full of microchips with a screen that you plug into the wall. Well, computers used to be things, but they have been shrinking, getting more powerful, and connected into an immense digital network. At first, computers sat on our desk, then in our laps, and then in our hands as smartphones. What happens next? They disappear. Literally. They become part of a seamless, wireless, networked, invisible digital environment that helps us to drive to the right address with the help of GPS satellites, to pay for a purchase, to correct our spelling, to remember a phone number. Evolutionary intelligence tells the story of how all of this came about and, importantly, what happens next. The key question is, do we model machine intelligence on human intelligence, complete with all of our aggressive, selfish, competitive, self-serving impulses? Or do we refine a compensatory intelligence to save us from ourselves? We might pause to wonder, will we succeed at developing evolutionary intelligence before it's too late? Insight number three. A group of distinguished scientists and entrepreneurs recently posted a call for a six-month pause in the development of artificial intelligence technology because of the dangerous effects runaway development might have on humanity. The pause didn't happen. I'll bet they knew it wouldn't happen. These were really smart folks, and I suspect they were just using the dramatic pause idea to draw public attention to the importance of their concerns. So what is this all about? Among the prominent AI skeptics is one Eliezer Yudkowsky, whose cover story in Time magazine reported that the most likely result of building superhumanly smart AI under anything remotely like current circumstances is that literally everybody on Earth will die, not as in maybe, possibly some remote chance, but as in this is the obvious thing that would happen. Those are strong words. Why does he say that? It strikes me as a clear example of projecting human qualities of aggression and competition onto computers. We have these psychological characteristics and emotions because they've proved beneficial for survival in our evolutionary history, especially in times of scarcity. We see the same propensities among our animal forebears. But computers didn't come into existence through a desperate effort to hunt for small game and to gather berries in the grasslands and forests. In fact, the equivalent primary directive for computational intelligence is derived from our own programming, and it is designed not for a desperate fight of survival. So no, Siri doesn't want to kill you. Insight number four. So how would this computer-assisted evolutionary intelligence work in practice? One example might be intelligent privacy. We've probably assumed that our digital environment is the sworn enemy of our capacity for personal privacy. But putting computational intelligence to work for us can reverse that. You know that your personal information is a valuable commodity for the social media and online marketing giants like Google, Meta, Facebook, Amazon, and X, Twitter. Think about the rough numbers involved. Internet advertising in the U.S. is about $200 billion. The number of active online users is about 200 million adults. So 200 billion divided by 200 million. So your personal information is worth about $1,000. That's every year. Not bad. So the idea is, why not get a piece of the action for yourself? It's your data, but don't be greedy. Offer to split it with the internet big guys 50-50. $500 for you, $500 for those guys to cover their expenses. So how to make that work? Tell your personal digital interface that you want complete privacy and to share no personal information and accordingly forfeit any payment. If you don't care that Google and Amazon know that you love chocolate and collect stamps, have your digital interface negotiate a deal every time personal information is requested. You don't have the time to negotiate the details, but your smartphone does. It's smart and getting smarter, and it works for you. Insight number five. As soon as ChatGPT came out and started a new buzz about the potential of artificial intelligence, the bureaucrats in Washington started to recognize that AI could be the next big idea. The first thought was to set up a new federal regulatory commission to make rules and regulations about the creation and use of AI technologies. The lawmakers were candid about their inability to understand what AI is and how it works. But when in doubt, don't hesitate, just regulate. It strikes me as amusing. Trying to regulate artificial intelligence is like trying to nail chocolate pudding to the wall. It will never work. In my view, the attempt to direct this fast-changing category of mathematical tools through legislation or traditional regulatory mechanisms, no matter how well-intentioned, is unlikely to be successful and is more likely to have negative and unanticipated consequences. Artificial intelligence is the application of a set of mathematical algorithms. You can't regulate math. If the commission of a crime is facilitated by the use of an automobile, a telephone, a hammer, or a knife, the appropriate response is to focus on the criminal and the criminal act, and not the regulation or prohibition of tools potentially put to use. Concerns have been raised that AI may be involved in financial crimes, identity theft, unwelcome violations of personal privacy, racial bias, the dissemination of fake news, plagiarism, and actually physical harm to humans. We have an extensive legal system for identifying and adjudicating such matters. It strikes me that a new regulatory agency to monitor and control high-tech hammers and knives that may be used in criminal activity is ill-advised. The best defense against a bad guy with an AI tool is a good guy with an AI tool.
Thank you, Russ. That was five big ideas from Evolutionary Intelligence, How Technology Will Make Us Smarter by W. Russell Newman. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.